Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Come on, how many of you guys ready for an awesome message from God's Word? A few of you. All right. Well, I'll preach to those few. I'm excited to share with you today as we jump back into our covenant series. All the young people can head out to their class. I want to share this with you before I do that. As you're turning to Genesis chapter 6, turn to Genesis chapter 6, very first book of the Bible. As you're doing that, I just want to share this with you because maybe you didn't get the email. And so let me just share with you now. Last Sunday, we broke our single weekend attendance here at Canvas Church. Come on. That is awesome. Well done, church. And I want to share that with you for a couple of reasons. One is because we have another service happening. It's at the 9 o'clock service. And so there's other beautiful people just like you attending that one. But last week in the middle of the summer, come on, the last Sunday of July, we broke our single weekend's attendance, which is absolutely amazing. And that happened for several reasons. Obviously, God's drawing people, which is exciting. But it happened because we have an incredible team called the ministry team here at Canvas Church. And without the ministry team, none of what you are partaking of right now takes place. And so I want to do something because obviously if you have kids and you check kids into the children's ministry, you get to see those smiling faces and they're smiling. You know some of them and you know who they are. If you're here for worship on time, come on, how you guys showed up on time today and you got to partake in worship? Three of you? Okay. We had worship earlier for those of you who weren't here. It's awesome. And we had a whole band up here and it was incredible, man. Worship was exciting. Worship was awesome. See, the band doesn't know if you were here or not because it's dark and all the lights are blinding them. And we do that because you keep showing up late. Anyway, just kidding. And so, so you get to see, you know, some of the people that make it happen, but there is a group of people that you rarely get to see that make everything possible, that make the worship possible, that make the children's ministry possible, and that is our setup and pack-up crew. All right, and so this is what I want to do because you might not even know who they are. Could all my setup and pack-up crew stand up right now? Come on, if you have ever served on setup, and not just today, but come on, setup and pack-up crew. Come on, give it up for the setup and pack-up crew. What? Man. And so these awesome people, man, they get here between 6:30 and 7 and they go at it and they start setting things up and then they stay after and they tear things down. But I share with you our record attendance because we're growing. Now, here's the thing. As we grow, that means more setup, which then means more pack up. Okay? And so we can't let it rest on the few that we have right now. We need more people involved in setup and pack up. Maybe you're looking at worship and you're like, I could never do that. Maybe you're looking at children and you're like, I hate children. Whatever it is. I don't know. But you know what? Man, you can come here early or you can stay late. As a matter of fact, we're going to need some help right after this service tearing down because we're going to go to a barbecue and they want to get over there and eat as well. Yeah, some of the setup and pack up, yes, I want to go eat. And so this is a ministry that, man, you can do. If you can move these things right here called arms, come on, somebody. You can be a part of the setup and pack up crew, okay? If you can get from point A to point B, you can be a part of the setup and pack up crew, okay? If you are antisocial, you are perfect for the setup and pack up crew, all right? If you're an introvert, this ministry is for you, all right? And so get signed up, and there's a way you can do that. You saw it on the screens. All you got to do is simply text the word team to 858-943-2221. Now you might get there and be like, I'm not really into setup and pack up. Well, you should probably repent. But there are other ministries. They're listed for you, and my wife is over here like, kids, and youth. And so we have other ministries like kids and youth. As a matter of fact, we have this really cool T-shirt that our young people designed. Isn't that cool? We actually had a competition, and they designed this. And so this is super cool. And here's what I want to do. I want to give it to one of our faithful setup and pack up crew. Okay? I want to give this. And if it's not your size, you go and exchange it for the right size. So which of my faithful setup and pack up crew wants this? I got right there. The young people are raising their hand. The adults are like, Pastor, it says Canvas Youth on it. So Jolie, right here. Okay? I'm throwing it to you right here. I don't want to throw my arm out. We'll see if I can get it to you. Oh, you missed it. That was like, man, softball, fast pitch right there. And it was a strike too, but if that don't work, you can go just change for the next side. But we have some product out there and you might be saying, I don't want to wear anything that says youth. It's okay, buy it for your son or your daughter because all of the money goes to support the youth ministry, all right? And so get signed up, join a team. It's one of the best ways to grow in your faith. I'm telling you right now, it'll stretch you, it'll encourage you, it'll empower you, it'll be awesome. Genesis chapter 6, are you there? Give you plenty of time, so hopefully you're there. whether you got the digital Bible, the paper Bible, whatever you have, we're going to read from it. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version today. A lot of times I read from the Holman Christian Standard, but I'm going to be reading from the NIV today. And so if you're following along, you don't have that one, it's okay. I'm reading from the Bible. We're in a series entitled Covenants. What is a covenant? Let me give it to you right now. Here's what a covenant is. A covenant signifies a mutual understanding between two or more parties, each binding themselves to fulfill specific obligations. Why are we in this series of covenant? Why are we talking about covenant? Why are we talking about this mutual understanding between two or more parties binding themselves to it? Here's why. Because the Bible is written in covenantal terms. The Bible is written in covenantal language. And when you begin to understand covenant, you begin to understand Scripture more. But the goal is not to understand Scripture more. The goal is to understand the heart of God more. And so as we dive into covenants, what we're doing is we're giving you a platform and a system so that you can begin to understand the Bible more, ultimately so you can understand the heart of God more. And the heart of God is He loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And if you live in covenant relationship with Him, He's going to fulfill it. Are you with me? And so we're diving into covenants, and this is why, so that ultimately you can walk away knowing the heart of God more. Last week, Pastor Steve covered the Adamic covenant, and I covered the Edenic, or if you're Pastor Steve, the Edenic, whichever way you prefer, it's fine. Potato, potato, I don't care. But we covered the Edenic and then the Adamic. And last week, Pastor Steve highlighted three particular parts of a covenant, which are seen in every covenant. The first part is this, it's the terms of the covenant or the stipulations where the covenant comes forth and it says, hey, here's what the covenant is about and here's what it's going to do for you, right? And as we see in Scripture, God is always the one that comes to man and chases after man to establish covenant with man. It's never man coming to God and saying, hey, God, I got a new idea. Let's do this. It's always God searching for humanity and coming after humanity, and it's the way He establishes His relationship with them. Second part of the covenant he touched on was the blood of the covenant. What do you mean by that? The actual blood. We did communion earlier, and that wasn't blood you were drinking. Say thank you, Jesus. Yes. Right? That was grape juice in a cup, but it was symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ, which establishes the new covenant, which we'll talk about at the end of our series. Well, every covenant has blood represented through a sacrifice. Okay, so something sacrificed then represents the blood, and therefore it sets the covenant in motion. And then there's the seal of the covenant. The seal of the covenant is like the final thing. And so that we know this covenant is established between two parties, this is going to happen. Okay? And so for today, as we begin to look at the Noahic covenant, we see this in the Noahic covenant. God establishes terms with Noah, and He says this, I'm never going to flood the earth again, which is really good. Because that one wiped away humanity, right? So He says, I'm never gonna do that again. And then we see the sacrifice of the blood when Noah and his family come out of the ark and Noah takes clean animals of every type and sacrifices them to God. That's the sacrifice, that's the blood. And then we see that God establishes a seal known as the rainbow. And He sets the rainbow in the sky and says, hey, that's my seal on this covenant. And we're gonna see what that does for each and every one of us. Still to this day. Now, if you're here and you're like, man, I'm loving this series and I want to jump more into that and I want to discover more about that, we are starting our Canvas leadership track on August 26th. And the very first class we're doing is covenants. So make sure you sign up for that if you're interested in going a little bit deeper in some of these things. But we're going to jump in Genesis chapter 6, going to read to you a lot of scripture. But how many of you know you're sitting in a movie theater not to watch a movie, but to hear the Bible? Yeah. Somebody in the back's like, oh. Yeah, no, we're here to hear the Bible. And Genesis chapter 6, we're going to look at several portions of Scripture here. We're going to start in verse 5. Going to read on from there. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And it says this, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. I don't like that verse. God looks down and He sees His creation and they are evil and they are wicked. How does He know they're evil and wicked? What is He basing this on? Does He just look down and say, no, He's basing this on the other covenants that we already talked about. The Edenic covenant established in the Garden of Eden. This is life. This is how it's to be lived. Obey me, follow me. Life will be good. Adam and Eve broke it. God in his grace comes and shows up again and establishes another covenant with Adam and Eve. Notice the Adamic covenant. It says, this is the way you're going to live. Do this. Life's going to be great. God is basing his assessment now on those two covenants. As he looks down, the reason he calls humanity wicked and their hearts evil and their thoughts evil is because they're not living according to covenant. Okay? So he looks down, he sees this. And verse 6, probably one of the most disturbing scriptures ever to me. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. You ever read that one before? And his heart was deeply troubled. God looks down at his very own creation, and he's like, man, I regret that I even started this thing. One translation says that God looked down and he was sorry that he made man. God looks down and he's troubled, the Bible says. Man, what's going on with this? He regretted it. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created. And with them, the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But, everybody say but. Come on, aren't you thankful for the buts of the Bible?
Yeah.
Man, I mentioned this often. There are some great buts in the Bible. And this is a big one right here. Come on, people, B-U-T. Come on, get it straight. But, everybody say but. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God is sorry he made them. He is about ready to wipe them all away. But because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come into relationship with him, he takes one last look across the globe. He takes one last look across the earth before he sets in motion the flood, and he sees one person named Noah. And because of Noah, he says, maybe there's hope. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Go to me, chapter 7, verse 1. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God says, you know what? Let's put this favor to test. Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. And Noah's like, I don't know what that is, but okay. Why am I building it? Because it's going to rain. Noah's like, I don't know what that is either, but okay. And so for many years, Noah now begins to build this ark based on God's word to save humanity. God speaks to man, build this, and humanity will be saved. It's a little bit like today. God speaks to man, build my church, and people will be saved. Build my church, which will then be the vessel that communicates hope, that communicates life, that communicates grace, that communicates mercy, that communicates righteousness. And if you're willing to build my church, come on, out of that, come on, the message of hope, the message of grace will come forth and people will be saved. Says to Noah, build this because I'm about to flood the earth. And anyone that's on it is going to be saved. Noah does it. Time comes, chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, I love this, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Notice what happens here. It goes from favor, what God puts on him, to now finding righteousness in him. Goes from favor to righteousness. What does the Bible say? We are saved by grace, Ephesians 2. We're saved by grace through faith, but that faith, that wasn't even your own. It's put there, okay? What is grace? Grace, that's the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. God finds favor because of what he does, the same way that today we're saved by grace. The undeserved, unmerited favor of God put on. But then there's something there that happens. What is that? That's faith, right? Noah did what God said, and now because Noah obeyed, God found righteousness in him and in this generation. Flood happens. Everything's destroyed. Chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah, they come out of the ark, ground's dry. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and taking some of all of the clean animals, birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings to it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Come on, that is a great verse. God says, you know what? Man's heart's probably never going to change. They're going to be evil. But you know what? I'm not going to do this again. I'm establishing. That's why even the Noahic covenant is also known as a new covenant, a new beginning. It's a new beginning covenant because God says, hey, we're going to reset some things. We're going to start here and we're going to move on. I'm not going to destroy this. Verse 22 is, long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, it will never cease. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground and all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. That is a great verse. I want to read that one again because it just speaks volumes. Everything that lives and moves, the steak, the pork chops, the chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A, come on, somebody. Oh, man, the burgers from Five Guys, praise Jesus. In-N-Out if you're not quite saved, will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. That is a phenomenal verse. Apparently, up until this point, everyone is vegetarians. But now something reset, and God says, I'm going to give you a good steak. Medium rare. Come on, somebody. Somebody with me this morning? I mean, this verse along with John 2, where Jesus turns water into wine, got to be the two greatest verses in all Scripture. Right? Are you with me? Somebody's like, oh, what kind of church is that? Bible-believing church. So last night, I actually barbecued some steak in honor of today's message. It's a true story, man. We pulled some steaks out of the freezer. Actually, some pork chops too. And then we did a hot dog for one of my daughters, but whatever. It's a great verse. Now everything is yours. But you must not eat meat that its life blood is still in it. And for your life blood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. And here we see that God actually institutes capital punishment. Verse 6, whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, all the wild animals, all that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on the earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between you, between me and you, and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set a rainbow in the clouds. Isn't that awesome? He sets this rainbow up there to remind himself that I will never destroy mankind again. Why did he have to put a rainbow in the clouds to remind himself? Probably because there was going to be times when he looked down on earth again and said, man, they are wicked, they are evil, and I'm going to destroy. Nope, there's the rainbow. Right? He puts the rainbow, he says, nope, I made a promise to them, I'm not going to destroy them. He puts that thing, and listen to me, how many of you guys are thankful for the rainbow? Right? Now, we don't know a whole lot about that living in Southern California, but I grew up in Washington State. And how many of you guys ever vacationed in Washington State? Man, beautiful state, right? Like you go up there in the summer, it is gorgeous. I mean, the sun's shining, there's lakes, there's rivers, there's the Puget Sound, there's mountains, there's just stuff to do. It's beautiful. But when you go up there in the summer and you look around and see that everything's green, there's a reason why it's green. Because it rains a whole lot. Matter of fact, the before we moved to Southern California, it rained like for 110 straight days. Yeah. And I was just looking for that rainbow. I'm like, God, are you mad at Seattle? So glad for the rainbow. You're my, I'm not going to die. Right? Sets this rainbow up. This is going to be my covenant. Set a rainbow in the clouds and it'll be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all the earth. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, I pray in the next few moments we have together, Lord, you would teach us from this, that we would walk away once again, just grasping some things, not for things' sake, not grasping them so that we have greater knowledge, but grasping them so we see your heart in a greater way. The heart that says, son and daughter, I love you. God, I pray you would help me do my best today so that people could encounter your son, Jesus, know your love, and begin to walk out the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Do I have any gamers in here? Anybody like to play video games? Come on, it's okay, the adults are like, can I raise my hand in this one? I know, like, come on, adults, like, how many of you guys are gamers? You like to play games, all right? There's quite a few. I know the young people are really into one called Fortnite, still haven't played it, don't care to play it. When I was growing up, I was never a big gamer, but we did have a Nintendo. Come on, anybody have a Nintendo back in the day? Still have it, maybe? I'm not talking about, like, the Nintendo 64. I'm talking about the original Nintendo, right? It was just a little gray box, two little controllers that plug in, put a little cartridge in, you had the little red button A and B, and then you had the little controller over here. That was video games to me, and I didn't play a whole lot of it, but what I did play was Mario Brothers. Yeah. Right? Any Mario Brothers people out there? Come on, we're talking real video games. Come on, somebody. We're not talking, you know, Fortnite and whatever, and people dropping in, whatever. We're talking about one-dimensional going this way. Right? And you just got to jump over things and hit things with your head and eat coins, which is really weird. But you know, I loved it. I played it, right? And when you first get it, it's like, man, you go. And man, I get past like the third little tube and I'm like, yeah, I passed the second one and got to the third one and then die. Right? Well, because I'm a very competitive person, my favorite button wasn't the red A or the red B. It wasn't even the controller. My favorite button on the whole entire game was the reset button. Right? Because it wiped away your score. It reset everything. You're doing bad. And your brother's playing because I have three older brothers and I'm playing. I don't like the way the score's going. Reset. And of course, they get mad, throw the controller at you. Anybody know what I'm talking about, right? I love the reset button because it takes you back to the beginning, starts over, new score. Man, you're going fresh and you're clean. Something powerful about the reset button. Here in Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, God is pressing the reset button. He is literally, if you look at it, he is literally looking at the score and he's like, I don't like what's happening right now. I don't like what's going on the earth. I don't like what I see. Everything's wicked. Well, why are they wicked? Well, because to this point, we only had the Edenic covenant and the Adamic covenant. And people had to make a choice. And they had to decide. And so at this point in time, you had people that believed God through obedience to the covenant. And you had those that said no to God by disobedience to the covenant. There was only one choice. You can obey the covenant and live this way, two choice, or not obey the covenant and live this way. And God looks down and he sees that more people were not living by the covenant than were living by the covenant. And can I tell you something? Nothing has changed today. There wasn't an option C back then. There wasn't a third choice back then. Just like today, in our culture, no matter what culture tells you, no matter what your teacher tells you, no matter what Hollywood tells you, guess what? There's still only two choices. You can either live according to the word of God and reap righteousness and joy and hope and peace and live more, and it's good stuff, or you can choose the other option and live in corruption. But see, our culture pitches a bunch of different options. Like, hey, If it feels right, it must be right. And so we've developed a third option called tolerance. We've got to be tolerant of everybody else's individual moral compass. But how many know your moral compass ain't too moral? Right? Just like it wasn't back then. And so God establishes, here's the way you live, and you reap blessings on your life. You don't live that way, which is a choice you have, but you don't reap blessings on your life. And there's only two choices still today. We can either live according to God's covenantal language and terms, known as the Bible. And by doing that, man, there's grace, there's hope, there's mercy, there's life, there's joy, there's fulfillment. Man, marriage is better when I live according to this. Business is better when I live according to this. Relationships are better when I base my finances on this. Finances are better. Come on, are you with me? And if I don't want to do that, which is an option, things aren't so good. It's no different then than it is today. And God looks down and he sees that people aren't living according to his covenant, and he's sorry that he makes them. But because of his grace, because he truly is long-suffering that none should perish, he looks down and he says, I'm going to sweep the continents. I'm going to sweep the globe one more time. And he found one, Noah. And he says, man, I'm going to use him. And we're going to reset this thing. And we're going to start here. And we're going to go from there. There's a couple of things I want to share with you real quick that I've learned from this covenant. First one is this, is number one, God is merciful and extends grace. God is merciful and extends grace. Think about this. In his anger, which is completely righteous anger and justified, in his anger, he looks down and he sees the corruption of humanity. And man, he's going to wipe them. But even in that state of anger, the Bible says his heart is troubled. The Bible says he's sorry he even made man. Even in that state, he extends grace and he extends mercy. And by the very fact that we now have the Noahic covenant is God extending grace and God extending mercy. He's saying, hey, this is what I really need to do. I need to destroy you. This is the judgment for sin and breaking the covenant. This is what should, but because I'm a merciful God, because I'm a graceful God, because I have grace towards you, this is what I'm going to do instead. That's why we have covenant after covenant after covenant, because God continues to extend grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, because he wants all to come and be in relationship with him. The Noahic covenant shows us that God extends mercy and God extends grace. The very fact that he puts the rainbow, if you look at the way the language is, he didn't put the rainbow there to remind you of his covenant. He put the rainbow there to remind himself of his covenant, which is unique in the Noahic covenant, because most of the covenants are, hey, here's the seal, that's gonna be on you. Now remember this covenant. But in this case, he's saying, I'm going to put this here because I need to remember it. Why did he say that? Because there's going to be times when he looks down, he's going to be like, oh. How many guys thankful for the rainbow now? Yeah. Right? And he looks and he sees that. He says, I'm not. Why? Because God extends mercy. God extends grace. It's such a powerful theme throughout all of Scripture. When we get to the New Testament or the New Covenant, the very fact that God would send his own son, Jesus, to extend mercy and grace so that people could come into relationship with him. This is hard for us to grasp, and maybe even hard for us to fully understand, because what about us? I mean, we like to read that and see that. I know my issues. When Genesis 6 talks about God looking down and seeing the wickedness of their hearts and their thoughts is nothing but evil, let's be honest. How many of you guys are thankful nobody can read your mind other than God? Right? Because you know your thoughts. You know your heart. And so we like it when God extends grace and mercy to us, because we know, really, what's going on in here. But yet we have such a difficult time extending grace and mercy to other people when they blow it. Right? Whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's a parent, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a pastor, right? We have a hard time, but yet But yet, can we understand that humanity is failed? I mean, the verse clears it up. It's wicked. And what would happen if we could fully understand the Noahic Covenant and what God was really doing, pushing the reset button? But man, my grace and my mercy is going to be extended through that. And now humanity, aren't you glad that humanity still continued on? Aren't you glad that you're here today experiencing life and learning how to live? And it'll be pretty awesome, right? Thank you, God, that you didn't wipe us all off the face of the planet. The Noahic Covenant shows us that he extends mercy and grace. The second thing, though, is this, is number two, we see this through the Noahic Covenant, that righteousness is found in obedience. Righteousness is found in obedience, and I'm just going to be completely honest with you as a pastor, because I should be, and that's a good thing to be as a pastor, is honest. Is that obedience isn't really a popular theme in church. Blessings are. Living in abundance is. Man, fulfillment of great things. You're a champion. You're a world changer. Actually, you're not. He is. And because his grace is in you, therefore you can be, but it's contingent on obedience. It's contingent on obedience. I mean, I've never met anybody that doesn't want a blessed life. Everybody wants a blessed life. Everybody wants an abundant life. Everybody wants, man, I want to live life to its fullest. You can. I know I can. I'm doing it. Are you being obedient? No, then you're not. Righteousness is found in obedience. Now listen to this. When the Bible says that God looked down and he found favor on Noah, listen, he didn't find favor on Noah because Noah was righteous. He found favor on Noah because he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do. Listen, make no mistake. It wasn't that Noah was this super spiritual, really great individual that was doing everything right. And then God said, oh, okay, he's got it down. All right, humanity, you can continue because this guy, he's got it going on. I mean, we know this to be the case, that he wasn't, because literally after he comes out of the ark, if you just read on in chapter 9, after he comes out of the ark and God establishes this mind-blowing covenant, I'll never destroy humanity. Literally like 6 verses later, Noah gets drunk and is sinning. Yeah. How does that even happen? Well, you know how it happens. I can't believe the nerve of Noah. Yeah, check yourself about 10 minutes after you walk out of the door of the church. Right? You're going home and someone cuts you off. Like, ah, she's been hiding in the ark. Ah! I was just giving him a fist, right? Ah! Right? You're at the park and Pastor Ben is working you over on the volleyball court. Woo! At the barbecue and you can't handle it. Right? Just check yourself. Don't act like you don't know how it happens. Noah. Literally like 6 verses after the covenant, just sins. What? He wasn't righteous because of who he was. God found favor on him. God favored him. And then look at it. Chapter 7, verse 1 tells us, now he becomes righteous. How did he become righteous? Because he was obedient to build the ark. His obedience caused him to become a preacher of righteousness in his generation. It was a pathway to righteousness. Listen to this. We know he wasn't righteous. Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. I don't like this verse. There was no one who does good, not even one. But yet Noah found favor and became righteous because of obedience. Write down 1 Peter 3:20, you can read it later. Let me read to you Hebrews 11, 7. It says, by faith Noah, after he was warned about what was yet not yet seen, so God comes and warns him, hey, this is gonna happen, and motivated by godly fear. This is the Bible now. No, motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. He was motivated by, that's going to happen. I don't want to die. Okay, I'll build it. walks it out. Listen to Romans 6:16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads, now listen to the terminology. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. You got to hear that part. Because if you don't hear this part, this is where we can begin to get off, okay? My obedience isn't what's righteous. It's not even my obedience that makes me righteous. It's me being obedient to Him that sets up the path that eventually leads me to righteousness. Noah found favor. He wasn't right. He found favor in the eyes of God. That's God casting His grace and His favor on Noah. Now I'm going to warn Noah. Noah, this is what's going to happen. He steps away and sees what Noah does with it. Noah now steps out in obedience produced by godly fear and begins to build the ark. And because he built the ark, it led him to a place of righteousness, which ultimately saved him as he got into the ark. The same thing is true today. Listen, there is no one righteous. You aren't righteous because of who you are. You aren't even righteous because of what you do. You are righteous as you begin to implement a path of obedience to the Word of God, and you begin to walk it out and you begin to follow it. It leads you to the one who is righteous, Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, we've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We aren't righteous because of our obedience. Our obedience leads us to a cross that He died on once and for all humanity. And there we surrender our lives to Him in complete obedience, begin to live out the Word. And therefore we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our obedience leads us to the one who is righteous, Jesus, who then died on the cross. There's only one righteous. His name was Jesus, which qualified Him to die a death, a substitutionary death for all of us. And so that through Him, all humanity in the whole entire world, both past, present, and future, would be saved. Yeah. But listen to me now. Righteousness is still found in obedience. Listen, we can't get off on this because here's what's happened. Too oftentimes we confuse that and we think, okay, so I'm just going to do works because that's me being obedient and therefore I'll be righteous. No. No, that's works. That's where religion steps in. Okay? My act of obedience is not what's righteous. My act of obedience is actually my faith in motion, which then leads me to the one who is righteous, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? See, too oftentimes we confuse that and we just begin to do and begin to work, right? Listen, let me put it this way. How many of you guys drove a car here or you came in a car today? Okay, who walked? Did anybody walk here today? Awesome. Most of us came in a car, okay? Just you sheerly getting in the car did not get you here today. The car was the transportation. You had to follow the path, the instructions, the route, in order to get here today. You don't just hop in a car and be like, I'm there. Just like you don't just hop into church and like, hey, I'm saved. No, it's you walking it out, living according to this. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. I like it. Number three, worship team, come on up. Worship team, come on up. Number three. The Noahic Covenant shows us a foreshadow of a life hidden in Jesus. If He's the one that is righteous and obedience leads us to righteousness, man, you gotta hear this. Because way back, three covenants in, before we even get to the new covenant with Jesus, God is already establishing what this is gonna look like. Get in the ark, you're gonna be saved. Get into Jesus, you're gonna be saved. Let me just give you some of the foreshadows. Just as the ark was graciously provided by God for sinners, so is salvation in Christ graciously provided by God for sinners. Just as the ark was planned by God, so is salvation in Christ planned by God. Just as the ark was a place of safety, so is Christ a place of safety. Just as Noah and his family must come into the ark for their safety, so must we come into Christ for our salvation. Just as the call to come into the ark was a limited time offer, so God's call to come to his son is a limited time offer. It's right now. You have a probationary period called time. Just like they, God spoke, hey, the flood's coming. Build the ark. And until that ark, that was the probationary time. If these people are willing to get in the ark with you, they'll be saved. We have a probationary time here. It's time on earth. And we have from the moment we're born to the moment we're died to say yes to him. The offer is extended. The offer goes. And you can choose to accept it or you can choose to say no to it. And I love what God does. He could have just plopped an ark down. He could have just, there it is. Noah, run to that. You're going to be saved. But he doesn't. He says, I'm looking for someone that's willing to build something for me. I'm looking for what I've always looked for. And that's to partner in relationship with humanity. To have this glorious life. And he invites Noah in. He says, hey, Noah, I want you to build this for me. And what you build, one day people hopefully are going to come into. And because they get in, they're going to be saved. And it's the same thing he's doing today. He's saying, hey, I want you to come and be a part. And I want you to build my church. And as you build this thing, you're going to build the greatest thing on the planet. A place that will be glorious. A place that will be beautiful. A place that out of it will come hope, will come healing, will come grace, and will come mercy. And that's why in the church is a place of safety. That's why in the church is a place where there's no judgment. Because we're not building something for ourselves. We're building something for him. We're building what he said. Hey, I want you to build this. That's why in the New Testament, when he looked at the disciples and he said, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples out of everybody. The disciples took that through their filter and said, hey, he's calling us to build the church. And they begin to build the church. And ever since those days, man, the church is shining. The church is bright. The church is beautiful. The church is brilliant. The church is growing. The church is increasing. And it's preaching hope. And it's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ so that people can be saved. So that people can be saved. And lastly, because I know there's some note takers in here, you don't want to leave without any notes. Number four. The purpose and plan of God does not change, although humanity does. The purpose and plan of God does not change, although humanity does. God sets the reset button. Just go back to those days of playing Mario Brothers. When you set the reset button, you go back to the beginning. The screen looks the same. Mario and Luigi look the same. You're starting from square one. Listen to what happens when God sets the reset button. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the whole earth. Same exact words in Genesis 1, verses 26, 27, 28. When he originally started covenant, said Adam and Eve, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. And I want you to fill the whole earth. And God sets the reset button. And his heart doesn't change. His heart is still to bless. His heart is still to prosper. His heart is still for you to live in abundance. His heart is still for you to grow and subdue. His heart is for you to shine bright like his church. His plan and his purpose has never changed, nor will it ever change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Noahic covenant gives me hope today that although man's heart might change, although corruption might be happening on the earth, God is never changing, and he still wants to bless. He still wants to prosper, and he still wants you to live in abundance. He wants you to subdue. And so he says to Noah, here's what's going to happen. Reset. Go back to the plan. Go back to the purpose. Listen to me today. God has an incredible plan, an incredible purpose for your life. It has not changed. It has not faltered. Although your heart may have changed, although there might be wickedness in your heart, God still loves you. God still has a plan for you, and his plan will win. God, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand to your feet, church. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are still building your church today, which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And Lord, I pray that today as we walk out of this building, that we would walk out not just having some knowledge, that we would walk out empowered by the Holy Spirit, understanding your heart for us, understanding your heart for humanity, that you are a God of love, that you are a God of restoration, that you are a God of redemption, that you are a God of mercy, that you are a God that says, hey, sons and daughters, I got something brilliant for you. I'm inviting you in. Just live in obedience and walk it out in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming to Canvas Church today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.